Sunday, January 31st, 2010, Mrs. Sally Mayer on Arevut and Tochacha in the Modern World. Is it okay if I put it over here? If not, if you put it on the screen.
No, that's completely fine. I'm sure it'll taste better if it's right there. Okay, great. Okay, so I guess we'll get started. Good morning, everybody. And I want to, first of all, thank the RENA community for inviting me to learn with you this morning. It's a pleasure to be back here. Dr. Zitter reminded me the last time I was here, so many years ago, though. Do you remember what year it was?
I'll tell you precisely. Fall of 98.
Okay, so...
He knows.
So, Dr. Zitter was my chemistry teacher in high school, so we go back a long way. And I want to thank Bernard Stahl for making all the arrangements and all of that. I actually feel a closer connection to RENA now than I did when I came to speak here in 1998, because since then, I've become shpacha with Rabbi Adler, Rabbi Adler's daughter, Michal, who is a beloved student of mine from Mayanot, married my cousin, Ovi Jacob, and so we all get a mazel tov on the new grandson, the Adlers and the Jacob Sofer Rosen family. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to be in a community that is so dedicated to learning and learning on a high level. So I'm looking forward to learning with you this morning. I thought we would talk about a topic in contemporary halacha, the issue of tochacha, v'chayach tochiyach, et amitecha. Just begin with a little story. There are a couple of kids that I know about who are now adults, but brothers, who one day the mother noticed that the children, one was hitting the other one and then saying, I'm sorry, and then, you know, hitting him again and saying, I'm sorry, hitting him again and saying, I'm sorry, you know. And finally the brother, the victim, came over to ran to the mother and said, you know, he's hitting me. Or the mother said, why are you hitting him? And he said, well, you know, I learned in school that that we have to make shalom bayis. And they gave an example that if you want to make shalom bayis, and if you hit your brother, you should say you're sorry. So I'm trying to make shalom bayis. So I figured I better hit him and then say, oh, that's the way to do it. I'm trying to be mekayim shalom bayis. So, obviously, a psychologist could analyze whether the real motivation there was shalom bayis or whether there was some kind of excuse there for hitting. But the issue of being mochiach, of saying you're doing something wrong to me, or for someone else to say, you know, you're doing something wrong, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, at the same time as it's a challenge how to actually relate it to the modern world. How do we actually do that in a successful way? When are we obligated to do it, etc.? Now, we'll just begin from the beginning, which is really the concept. Where does some Rishonim say that the whole idea of tochacha really comes from a fundamental principle that we have, which is Kol Yisrael Erevim Zeh Bazeh, or Zeh Lazeh, right? All of us are responsible for each other. So, there are different contexts in which we see the concept of Arevut, right? Of the concept of responsibility one for the other. And that is one, the first one is in, or the main source is really in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Tet Amud Aleph in source one, where we have a statement by an Amora that Kol HaBrachot Kulan Afal B'Sheyasa Motzi, right, that in any case of a bracha, that someone's obligated in, even if a person is Yotze, he can be Motzi other people, except for Brachas HaNenin, Brachas HaLachem, Brachas HaYayim. And then Rava asks the question, what about the bracha, Brachas HaLachem of Matzah? What about the bracha over bread that you say over Matzah? What about Kiddush, right? What about Kiddush, the bracha berkat hagafen that you say over Kiddush? Is that, which is in itself a mitzvah, right? it's not just you feel like drinking juice, you know. Somebody here wants to be mochi someone else in their cup of coffee, and they're shahakal for their cup of coffee. You'd have to be drinking a cup of coffee in order to be mochi the other person, in order to say the bracha for the other person. However, if you already made kiddush, and then someone else comes home and hasn't heard kiddush yet, you can. The question is, can you make kiddush on Shabbos morning for somebody who hasn't heard kiddush yet if you already did? Right? It's really just a great prayer. Nothing we have to do before, but can you do it? The Gemara asks this question, and the Gemara answers that yes, okay, we do make that bracha, okay, for somebody else. And Rashi explains on that Gemara, Afmashi Yasamoti Shahre Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh Bazeh L'mitzvot. We are all responsible for each other in mitzvot. And the Rambam, in fact, and for Sir Paskins, that way that we are, you know, this is a well-known concept, we are able to be motzi other people in mitzvot, brachot, because of this concept that Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh Bazeh. What is the idea behind that, right? So, you know, the idea that's always mentioned, we're all guf echad, all of Am Yisrael is like one body. And so, in a way, if there's a Jew out there who has yet to fulfill this mitzvah, then there's a part of me that hasn't fulfilled it yet either, right? And so therefore, right, my left hand hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah, you know, it's not just my right hand has to fulfill it. Okay, the idea is that we're all one, we all have responsibility for each other. In fact, what is the real meaning of arev, arevut? What is that? What is the real original meaning of that word? Right? Right? Okay, a guarantor, right? Somebody who, if, you know, I'm going to borrow money from you, and you're not sure that I have the money to pay it back, so then we're going to bring in a guarantor who will then pay back if I don't, right? So it's like the other person has taken on the responsibility, right, the liability for this loan, okay? And so that's the idea, that we are responsible for each other. If he doesn't do it, then I need to step in and help out. We need to step in and help out. You also have arevut going the other direction. There's arevut for mitzvot. We have to help each other do mitzvot. If someone else has not fulfilled the mitzvah, we haven't either. On the other hand, we also have what I call arevut bagoral, and that is, if you look in source 3, in the Medrash Tanhuma, in Mitzvim, so the Medrash says, it says Rashachem, Shitechem, etc. And then it says Zavdavar Achar Kul in the middle Kulchem Arivim Zebaze Afilu Tzadik Echad Benechem Kulchem Odim Bishuto. If you have one tzadik, all of you will stand because of that tzadik. Velo Atem Bilvad or Kol Ha'olam Kulo, the whole world will stand because of that tzadik. Shenemar V'Tzadik Yisod Olah Ukshachad Chotei Kol Hador Loke. Okay, when one is chote, everybody gets a punishment. Famous case in Tanakh where that happened is brought next, Achan. Right, remember the story of Achan, Sefer Yehoshua, they conquer Yericho, Hashem says, do not touch anything from Yericho, all the spoils are going to be for Hashem, nothing, it's all chayrim, nothing should be touched, and Achan goes in secret and violates the chayrim, and what happens? When Am Yisrael go to attack Ai, the next battle, they are defeated in battle, and a number of Jews are killed. And Am Yisrael, Yosef says, what happened? And they ask, you know, they ask Hashem what happened, and Hashem answers, Chatai Yisrael. The Jews have sinned. Am Yisrael has sinned. What? It was only one person who sinned, and then they do a go round, they find out who sinned, and it turns out it's buried, you know, in his tent or whatever. Right, but the point is, one person sinned, the whole Jewish people is punished. Okay, that is their example for Kol Yisrael Arvim Zeh Bazeh. We are all ultimately going to be responsible for the other one. Now, this is obviously a very hefty idea. In other words, I understand the idea, if, you know, someone hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah, so I'm going to help them fulfill it. Okay, that's very nice, you know. But the idea that if somebody sins, and then we're all going to be punished for it, you know, the truth is, if we really are all one body, right, okay, then you can understand it. If you want to take that analogy, you know, you want to take that metaphor and really, really say, okay, I really believe that, then yeah, you know, a person could die from an infection in one part of the body, right? One part of the body could get sick, and it can affect the whole rest of the body, right? But that's a very, you know, you know, it's a very, very intense way to take that metaphor, right? Yes.
Your question is really strengthened by the pasuk Aisha Chadiyah Shor.
That's right. Right. Excellent. Right. We have that exactly. We have that statement, and in fact, we actually, you know, in general, the Torah says, right, we don't punish somebody else for what, you know, for what one person did. On the other hand, we have the case of Achan, where the Jewish people was punished. So how do you understand? So the truth is that actually different Rishonim actually try to understand the case of Achan in different ways. How do you understand the case? How can you explain the case of Achan, right, being, you know, the whole nation being punished, and in a different way? Can anyone have an idea? And one could argue that exactly right. One could argue that the responsibility is shared by everybody because perhaps people knew and didn't stop him. Perhaps one could argue even further that, you know, what kind of community is it? What kind of education do they have? In other words, let's say something nobody knew, but how could somebody have been a product of the community? Who was capable of that? You know, I mean, you have in the case of Pilegish Begira, right, at the end of Sefer Shoftim, you have the whole of Shevet Binyamin being held responsible for the terrible rape and murder of the Pilegish, of the man who came to stay. Although there, I think the Tanakh makes it clear that there was, in other words, what happened there I think is not as much of a question. What? It's not smiling at it, it's true. But I think there also, you have, it's slightly different, it's more explicitly, I think that the responsibility is more shared because they say to Binyamin, give us the men who did it, and we will kill them. Binyamin says, no, we will not give them. Not, we don't know who they were, whatever. They say, we are not giving them over. In other words, they protected these people, in effect, you know, really, sharing the responsibility, you know, saying we approve or we're okay with that, or, you know, and then, you know, in the Navi you get a sense of greater justification. I mean, again, it was a crazy story that they killed out almost the entire Shevet, right? But you definitely get the sense there of shared responsibility because of people, you know, protecting the people who did it. I mean, it reminds me of discussions people have about the Palestinian-Israeli, you know, conflict where, you know, people say, you know, well, okay, there's, you know, not everybody there is, you know, is, I mean, I don't want to get into politics, but I'm just saying, the notion that protecting murderer, right, is, causes some kind of shared responsibility is something that we talk about, I'm saying today, in contemporary society in general. Again, without getting into a judgment call about that question. In any case, this measure, at least, is expressing a very extreme view of cholesterol and zebazeh, right, at Kidekach, that we are going to be all punished for something that one person did without getting into the shared responsibility. In other words, I think the answer we could give for Achan is shared responsibility. They didn't stop him, right, whatever. But here you have it, I think, put in a rather extreme version of it. In any case, in the Gemara, there's a Gemara also in Shavuot, in that source 4, which is discussing the severity, the previous part of the Gemara that I didn't bring for you, is discussing the severity of the Avera of Lo Tisa, which in Hashem Elokecha L'Asha, this comes from Parsha, right, the Avera of taking Hashem's name in vain. And it talks about maybe that mitzvah, that Avera, being one that is so severe that other people will be punished if one individual does it. Okay, because the Torah says, "Lo yinatzeh Hashem at eshayisach malashav." Okay, in any case, the Gemara is discussing whether it's only that mitzvah or other mitzvot also. And the Gemara says, "V'chol averot shebatara mikol ha'olam lo." Is it, you know, are we not punished, other people punished for the avera of the individual in all mitzvot? V'hakitiv, but don't we have the pasuk in Vayikra, which I brought for you underneath, v'chashmu ish v'achiv. The pasuk in Vayikra is in the tochacha and the reprimand to the Jewish people, but all bad things are going to happen to us if we don't keep the Torah. The And the Torah says, it's talking about, you know, how we're going to run away and no one's even going to be chasing us and, you know, it's just going to be terrible. And it says, we're going to stumble over each other, you know, it's going to be so terrible, we're going to be afraid of our own shadow, we're going to be running away all the time and, you know, terrified and tripping over each other. That's the pshat of the pasuk. But the Gemara here darshens it to mean, we will stumble, one, because of the sin of his brother. In other words, we will be punished for the sins of our brothers and sisters. Okay? But that, the Gemara says, doesn't, you know, the Gemara has this, has brings this pasuk, because doesn't this pasuk show that we will be punished for the sins of our brothers? Right? Because it says, so the Gemara answers there, Hatan sheish biyadam limchot, velo michu. The Gemara answers, that is a case in which they had the opportunity to protest, and they didn't. In other words, when, in general, in all other roads of the Torah, are we punished one for the other's sin? When we could have tried to stop, we could have protested and we didn't. That's when, in general, we're punished for the other one's sin. Not just scum if they didn't, if they do something wrong and we had no way of communicating with them. But if we had an opportunity to protest and we didn't, then we are punished for the other one's sin. And that really brings us to the mitzvah of tochacha, this whole concept of the adam, of being able to protest, to reprimand. What I really want to do, what I really want to discuss is how does this play out? Yes, please. Okay, excellent. Okay, so you're bringing up what we're going to be seeing in a few minutes, the question of should you give tochacha if the person, only if the person is going to be makabel? What if they're not going to be makabel? What if they're a shogeg? Is it better to keep them as a shogeg? We're going to see those gemaras. What we're going to see, though, is that there is a contradiction between two sets of gemaras, and how we resolve that contradiction is going to have make a big difference in how we understand this mitzvah and how we are going to play it out in real life. Okay? So thank you. That's a perfect segue. So if you look in the pasuk in Vayikra, in source 5, you have lo telech rochil, that's the parakeet tzad, pasuk tzad, lo telech rochil ba'amecha v'lo tamar al gamir'acha ani Hashem. Do not carry tales in your nation. Do not stand by the blood of your friend. I am Hashem. Lo tisnat achicha b'lvavecha. Hocheach tosechet amitecha v'lo tisa'a l'avcheit. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Reprimand your brother, your friend, and do not bear a sin on his account. Lo tikom v'lo tisor b'nei'amecha v'ahavta l'recha kamocha ani Hashem. Do not take revenge nor bear grudges from the people, from your people. You should love your friends like yourself, ani Hashem. Okay, so we need to read this pasuk very carefully. I brought you the whole context just so you can see the pasukim before and after, the pasuk before and after. But what we really need to do is try to understand this pasuk. There are three parts of the pasuk. Lo tisnat achicha b'lvavecha, hocheach tochiach chatanecha, and v'lo tisalach. How do you understand the relationship between the three parts of this pasuk? What is this pasuk saying? What is, and therefore, or I could ask it a different way, what is the purpose of tochacha according to this pasuk? What's the point of tochacha? Why are we so, we're supposed to, the center of the pasuk is we must reprimand our brother. Why? Why must we reprimand our brother? Because we care about him, okay? And therefore what? If we care, then...
we want to prevent him from doing wrong.
Okay.
Not because we're protecting ourselves from being punished, but because we don't want him to be punished, but we want him to be following the correct path.
Okay, and so how do you see that? How do you see that in the pasuk? How do you...
the pasuk concludes that we have to read.
Okay, interesting. So you're saying we are connecting this pasuk to the next pasuk, and saying v'atzalecha kamocha is really the reason why we want to give tochacha. We want to protect other people from punishments. We want them to be on the correct path. That's why we need to do it. Yes?
If you want to stay within the pasuk itself, then if you don't want to see someone else is doing wrong, and you don't want to resent that person for, hey, I'm playing by the rules and you're not, mm-hmm. you're supposed to resent them if you're not, but also
okay.
Doing wrong,
okay.
So therefore, stop him doing wrong, so I shouldn't resent him at the end.
Okay. Okay, so focus on lotus nachachich lo vavechet. If I see him doing something wrong, I'm going to be upset that, you know, what is he, you know, he gets to do whatever he wants, and I'm, you know, okay, very interesting, yes.
Somehow overlaying your comments about every food,
mm-hmm.
it loads the lotisma even further, because mm-hmm. you see him doing that, you can get beyond the just what does he get to do it, and
right.
he's going to impact me, he's
right.
going to impact the whole community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And therefore I'll despise him, so I have to deal with him directly.
Uh-huh, interesting. And Veloti Salav Chais is saying, if you don't do it, you're going to end up being punished for his, you know, right? Is that how you're understanding it?
What I was thinking more of what shall you do it, be careful of how you do it.
How you do the Tokacha. Very interesting. Okay, we're going to see that in the Gemara a little bit later. Rashi quotes that in this passage. Dr. Zitter, did you want to say something?
You just said it.
Yeah.
So the thing is, that isolates you time.
Uh-huh.
You don't need the context, then.
Right. Now listen, this is a parsha with a lot of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro mitzvot. You could connect them all together or you could not, you know, in other words, but yes. Right. So, yeah, you're right. Okay, so one, you know, so there, the different, you know, Rishonim, and we're going to see echoes of these in the Gemara too, do try to understand this, you know, do understand this pasuk in different ways. If you look for a second at source 7, the second half of source 7, you have the Ramban, where he says at the bottom of page 1, it says, V'hanachon be'enai, ki ochef tochiach, he actually has something that we haven't mentioned yet, but I think the only reason we didn't mention it is because I talked about Arehut first, so we didn't even think of it, okay? But he says, V'hanachon be'enai, ki ochef tochiach, kamo v'ochiach Avraham et Avimelech. Talking about when someone does something wrong to you, someone offends you, okay? Don't hate him in your heart. Why did you do this to me? Right? This is the classic Ramban, weaving in a pasuk from somewhere else. You know, this pasuk is about David, right, who never told, like it was Adoniyahu, Madu, lo atavo aviv mi'alav me'emor, madua kacha asita. So he's bringing in a pasuk from totally elsewhere and just weaving it into his comments. So it's a lot of fun to read the Ramban for that reason. Madua kacha asita imadi v'lo tisa alav chayt lechasot tin apcha b'li becha v'lo tagid lo. V'ki b'hochicha ato yitnatzeh lecha. You know, if you don't give him a chance to say sorry, he's going to have a sin on your account. So, Tell him, why'd you do this to me? Let him say, sorry, oh, yeshuvi yitvada achatov, it's a chaperlo. Or you can, you know, he can make amends with you. Lo tisat achatovach, if someone hurts you, don't keep it in your heart, don't hate him, tell him about it, so that he won't have a sin because of you, yeah.
Does Ramban from the Hokiach in the sense apply to Gentiles as well, for the same reasons, because he makes some comparison between Abimelech.
Right. That's interesting.
Unless there's some kind of comparison, the whole thing makes no sense.
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's a question that I was thinking about. I did not see in the Rishonim a discussion of whether it applies to non-Jews. I mean, it does say, you know, which usually means the Jew. However, the Gemara in the Sanhedrin at the end of the Eis Perek does have, in a different context, he's talking about whether non-Jews are mitzvah on Kiddush Hashem. And it has the case where there was a non-Jew who had decided not to worship Avodah Zarah anymore, but felt he had to go back and bow down. He was talking to Elisha, the Nevi, and he felt he had to go back, I can't remember if it's Elisha or Leah, I think Elisha. He felt he had to go back and bow down to the idol one more time, like for looks, you know. And the Nevi says to him, you know, lech b'shalom, or lech b'shalom, like, okay. And he doesn't say anything to him. And the Gemara says that must be a proof that non-Jews are not mitzvim and kiddush Hashem, because otherwise he would have not given his blessing, you know. So when thinking about whether we're obligated to be mochiach non-Jews, I think about that Gemara. That Gemara possibly is assuming that the Navi would have been mochiach this non-Jew, right? On one of the Shevet Mitzvot B'nei Noah, right? So, I don't know. I leave it as a question mark. It's something to look into. I'm not sure. But yes, the Ramban is referring to obviously the case he brings us before Matan Torah, and not necessarily in the context of a mitzvah, just in the context of what's the right thing to do. You know, you should, you know, Abraham was a good thing that he, you know, that he was Mochiach Avimelech. But I think your question is a very good one, and it's worth investigating.
The Avimelech case was a straightforward case of the same. Somebody accusing the other, you're a guest. It's not just that you're not behaving in a nice way. You're a guest.
Right.
You do something for me.
Okay, but it's a justification. Okay, you took something from me, give it back to me. What the Ramban seems to be saying here, that Avraham is doing something ethically commendable. I mean, if somebody takes something from me, I say, I want it back. That's not, you know, there's nothing wonderful about that. Everybody wants that. But here seems to be comparing Hoseach Sophiah from Avimelech with the Pasuk over here. And the Pasuk over here, Hoseach Sophiah, seems to be some kind of ethical. So, based on that, it seems to be more than that.
It is interesting. It's a very interesting question. Whether halacha l'maaseh, do we apply this to non-Jews? It's a very interesting question. I'd like to look into it. I think it's worth investigating. Very interesting question. What'd you say? Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, it's that's a very interesting question. Okay, so that's one thing, and the Ibn Ezra actually also on his pasuk also has a similar, he's similar to the Ramban. He also understands Hoseach Sophiah as what Rav Lichtenstein in an article about this topic called erring grievances. You know, that's his term for it. Right? That's there, you know, just clear the air, right? And even Ezra says, V'hine Eila mitzvot kulam nefilot balev. Back to source 6 on the first page. Okay? V'hi shamram yeshvu ba'aretz. If we keep these mitzvot, we are going to be able to live in the land. Because the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of baseless hatred. He says, Shema tachshadu b'davar v'lo haya kain. This is interesting. Ibn Ezra is assuming, is saying, this is talking about a case where we were choshei b'sheirim, when we thought somebody did something wrong to us, but we were wrong. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Talk to him about it, so that he can clarify that he wasn't doing anything wrong. And you know, the truth is, this is something that's so applicable to everyday life. So often, we suspect someone of something, hesitant to say anything about it, walk around all the time just thinking, you know, he did something wrong, and really he didn't. You know, it's the whole dam lakat l'chut, or you know, the lack of dam lakat l'chut, and the need to speak to people if we have a problem with them, and try to clear the air, whether it's to let them clarify that they did nothing wrong. That's the Ibn Ezra's case. That's why, you know, he's saying, Veloti Salav Chayt, you're going to be in trouble because you are doing the wrong thing by being Choshedin. The Ramban, you know, has a different twist on it, that it's give him a chance to say sorry. Okay? Because it'll be on your account that, you know, if he doesn't say sorry. However, we have in the first half of the Ramban, we have, you know, the other explanations that we all said here, which is really related to Tochacha, you know, related to the Arevut idea. And that is in the first half of Source 7, the Ramban says, V'amar ochiach tusun shetam itocha mitzvah acharet, v'lamdo tochachat musar, v'lo tisa alav chet, shiye alecha asham kasher yachata v'lo ochachta alav. Okay. You will be punish, you will be guilty if he does an aveira and you do not rebuke him. Right? You should not get a chova on yourself because of him. Okay, so the Ramban understands the mitzvah as instructing him in the proper way. Allah, the Gemara in Shavua Staff Lamatet that we saw, that if you do not rebuke him, you will be punished on his behalf. One possible nafkamina, by the way, what is the nafkamina between these two understandings of Hoseach Sophiah? What could be a test case that shows which explanation is right? Okay, what if you've forgiven the person? What if you have no, the person did something wrong to you, or you perceive he did something wrong to you, but you forgive him, you have no hatred in your heart for him, no problem, it's okay, you've moved on, right? In the case that it's don't bear hatred, don't walk around, you know, air grievances, clear the air, then if you've forgiven him, there's no need to do that, right? But if it's to instruct the person in the proper way, then, and it's an educational thing, and it's an avera, you know, teach him what to do, then in a case where you feel you were wronged, right, your obligation is still there to discuss it with him, to teach him. That's not what we do, okay? So that's an interesting, you know, possible nafkamina. If we look at the Rambam a little later in source 15, he actually, we can look at it, we'll just look at it now in this, just because we're bringing it up now, we'll come back to it also again after. But if you look at source 15, that's on page 3, you have the Rambam. If you look, let's see how he fastens. What does he fasten? Is it during grievances? Is it education? So if you look in source 15, Ha'achavad, Ha'achavdeyas, Ha'achavad, Ha'achavad, says, Kesher chata, ish li'ish, lo yitzemenu v'ish tok, k'mo sh'namar v'rishayim, v'lo diber avshalom et amnon mu'uma, l'meira'a v'ad tok, kisane avshalom et amnon. When a person does the wrong thing, you shouldn't hate him and keep quiet. Like it says about the Rishayim, that Avshalom hated Amnon, right, after Amnon raised Tamar, Avshalom hated him and never spoke to him again. But rather mitzvah alav lahodi'o v'lo marlo, lama asita li kach v'kach v'lama chatata li v'davar ploni. Why did you do this to me? Why did you sin to me in this way? Shenemar uchayach v'chichata mitacha, v'imchazah v'kish v'meno v'imcholo, tzarich v'imcho. But if someone asks forgiveness, you have to forgive. V'lo yeh mochel achzari, you shouldn't be achzari, you shouldn't be cruel, and not be mochel, as it says, v'yis palel Avraham el harukim, Avraham daven tashem, the power to get better, for enough to get better when they took his wife, right? So we have Abraham being willing to daven on his behalf. So that is clearly airing grievances. The Ibn Ezra, second half of the Ramban, we do paskin like that. We're going to see this also in the Gemara. And then in Halacha Zayin, though, you have also Haroech Haverosh Chata Oshalach V'Derech Lo Tova Mitzvah Lachziro L'Mutav Ulohodi Oshu Chote Alatmo B'Masav Haraim. If a person, you see somebody doing something wrong, he's going the wrong way, we have a mitzvah to try to bring him back to the right way. Tell him that he's being chote bring on himself with his terrible deeds. Shneimar Alchech Tuchasad Amitzacha. Okay, and then we'll come back to the rest of it later in terms of the method of being tochacha. But we see already that the mitzvah of tochacha applies both to the concept of airing grievances and to the concept of having nothing to do with an avera between the two of us or some wrong that was done between two people. If you see a person doing the wrong thing, violating the Torah, we must bring them back. Now what we need to see is to look at, we're going to look at a set of gemaras on this issue. I want to look at 4 gemaras. And the gemaras seem to contradict each other with regard to how we do tochacha, in what circumstance we do tochacha. And we're going to need to try to understand how do we understand this mitzvah, and how does the Rishonim and down to Halacha Maisa, how do we resolve this contradiction? So let's have a look. Yes, please.
Up to this point,
yeah.
Particularly the way the Rambam phrased, because it seems like tochacha for something that someone did to me is exactly the same tochacha as for when I observed that person doing something wrong.
Right.
Making a throat.
Right. Yes.
Just the same approach, whatever it is.
Same mitzvah. I mean, how you approach it, we're going to see in a little bit. But this.
But how low the lead is.
In the first one. Interesting. I mean, I think that he's right. He's in the first one, he's really talking about a situation where I am hating the person, you know, in my heart because he did something wrong to me. So I have to say to him, why did you do the wrong thing to me? In the second halacha, saying you see his chote or halech v'derech lo tova, not just even if he's specific chote, you see him going on the wrong path. That's, by the way, an interesting thing. That, you know, does the mitzvah tochacha, when does the mitzvah tochacha apply? Only when you see a technical violation, or let's say you see him starting to hang out with the wrong crowd. You haven't seen a specific violation, but you feel like he's going in the wrong direction. Is that also a case of mitzvah tochacha? Because Rav Lichtenstein discusses if there's the Gemara in Brachos, I think it is, talking about Chana, talking about how Eliyahu Kohen reprimands, he comes over to Chana and says, why are you drunk, you know? And the Gemara says, that's how we know if you see Davar Maguna b'chavero, you know, if you see somebody doing something a little, you know, doing something wrong, that you should correct him, you know, that it's not only, I mean, she didn't do a sin, you know, but like, she got, you know, in his mind, she got drunk in the base of Mikdash, you know, like, we don't do that, right? Even though there's no particular Avera there. So Rav Lichtenstein actually says that shows, you know, that's an indication that even when it's just something that they're doing that seems wrong, not even an official Avera, which maybe the Rambam is hinting to there, but they're a little tova, you know, not just a chit. What is the opening? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The question I have is, does the system apply across the board, or what if I tried tochacha and I tried that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the Rambam paskin that at a certain point you have to eat a seder?
So, yeah, there is that, there definitely is, you know, I have in a different share that I've given before about the halakha's approach to people who are, you know, not observant or, you know, doing, you know, chotim, you know, there is a discussion about hating the person who does averot. You know, the truth is the Gemara brings up the mitzvah of the mitzvah pikur t'ina kitira chamor sana acha. Okay, you see the chamor of your enemy. Chamor ayivcha, sanacha. I can't remember actually sanacha, right? So the Gemara says, who is that? It's not a non-Jew, okay? The Gemara proves it's not a non-Jew. So the Gemara says that's a Jew. That you how can you hate a Jew? So the Gemara says, oh, that's somebody who's like, you know, a terrible sinner. So again, that's a very big issue. The whole question. The limits of Asa L'Recha Kamocha and Lotis Natachicha V'Vavacha, and when, you know, loving and hating Jews, so that's really a topic for another time, but it is a very, very interesting and important topic.
It's very timely, because do you hate the sinner or the
sin? And the sins, 100%. And, you know, that's a totally very, very interesting issue. Maybe next time I come to Reno, another 10 years, 12 years. Yeah.
The whole question of Eli is the custodian in the sense of mm-hmm. the Beit HaMikdash. So in a sense, it's his role, in the sense that it's not somebody else's role.
Right.
The same way that in the shul, I mean, you know, for it's different. Right. Rabbi Adler gives him a certain for any member of the congregation.
That's right.
Gets to give him a certain. So the thing of Eli giving most mitzvahs to Chana, is that something that you can extrapolate to everyone? That this is the type of mitzvah that everyone would have? Or is it possible that Chokha mm-hmm. may be dependent on a person's function?
Well, that's a very interesting question. The Gemara definitely relates that to everybody, and it says, how do we know that if one sees a davar maguna b'chaver, you should reprimand him, and it gives the case of Eli. But the Gemara actually explicitly addresses your issue of Talmid l'rabo, rav l'talmid, and the Gemara is marve the case of the Talmud giving tochachas even to the Rav from the Pasuk. So the Gemara had your Havamina. In other words, I think it's very good thinking, but the Gemara does specifically include even cases where you would think it would be even inappropriate. Talmud l'Rav. How could you be mochiach your Rav? And again, obviously it has to be done in the proper way, but there isn't a tochacha even Talmud l'Rav. So I would guess that it is including every case. Okay, so let's have a look at these Gemaras, and I'm very interested to hear how you would resolve them, and then we'll look at some Rishonim who resolve them and see what comes out of it. The Gemara in Arachin, Dasa Zainam Abet, in the midst, discussing the Mitzvah Tochacha, okay, it says, Tanu Rabbana, Matis Nadachil Vefa, Yachol, Yachkenu, Yisrenu, Yachakulanu, Tamilu Marbil Vavecha, Sinasha Baleva Kadum Vaber. The Gemara there is just defining the Lotis Nadachicha Bavavecha is actually not trying to say, don't hit him, don't slap him. It's not only talking about behavior, it's even talking about in your heart, Sinasha Baleva Kadum Vaber. Okay? That's not our point, but I just didn't want to start us in the middle of the brisa, so I brought the beginning. For our purposes, we start here. From where do we know that if you see somebody doing the wrong thing, you have to reprimand him? How do I know if you did tochacha? but you didn't accept it. How do I know that you have to go back and be mochiach him again? From the double lashon, right? Ochiach, tochiach. Don't just reprimand him, but you shall surely reprimand him again. You have to do it again and again. Yachol afilu mishtanim panav. Ah, you might have thought, though, that if, even if his face is changing colors, he's embarrassed, even if you're going to embarrass him, tamudomar lo tisal lafchek. The Torah tells us lo tisal lafchek. This was your idea, and Rashi brings it on the Torah, based on this Gemara, that lo tisal lafchek is talking about how you do the tocha. We have a mitzvah not to hate our brother. We have a mitzvah to give tochacha. If you see something wrong, you must be mochiach. But be careful not to embarrass him, because then you'll get a chayt. So it's talking about the way in which we do it. I'll read this now, but we can get back to it later. This is very, very fascinating, Brisa, that they bring here. I'm a Rabbi Tarfon. Tanya, I'm a Rabbi Tarfon. Tama ani im yesh b'dor hazeh shemekabel tochacha. I wonder if there's anybody in this generation who can accept tochacha. Im amalo tokisa mibene necha. If you tell him, take a little yad, a kisam is like a little toothpick, a little piece of wood, a little tiny thing. You have a little piece of wood in between your eyes. I'm a little toko rami beninava. Oh, I have a little piece of wood. You have a 2x4 in between your eyes. In other words, everybody, and this is totally true, right? In other words, the first thing we all think, or suddenly I think when someone gives me tokacha, I think, oh, look who's talking. Yeah. I did that. What about you? And if you're self-aware, you realize, what am I, what? Exactly, right? And we all say that. We all feel that with natural impulse, but it's so silly, What is the difference if he has something wrong with him? Still, did I do something wrong or not? That's really the way we should think about it, but it's very hard to accept. I'm Rabbi Lazar Ben Azariah. It's Mehani Im Yesh Bador Azeh Sheyodea Lahochia. I don't know if there's anyone who knows how to give Tochacha properly. That's very interesting. We're going to come back to this at the end. It's a fascinating piece, especially when you contrast it with the next piece of the Gemara. The Gemara then goes on to other chapters and comes back to Tochacha, and it says, Ad Heichan Tochacha. How far do you have to go when you are giving Tochacha? And the Gemara says, Rav Amar Ad Haka'a. Rav says, until hitting. Ushmo Amar Ad Kuala. Until cursing. Rav Yochanan Amar Ad Nizifa. Until tells you, get away from me, get out of here, right? Kitznai, so the Gemara says, oh, it's like a big machlokas tanaim, Rabbi Eliezer Omer al Hasar, Rabbi Yeshua Omer al Kula, Ben Azim al Nazifa, okay, says machlokas tamaraim, is really machlokas tanaim, fine. How do you understand this Gemara? What is it trying to say, ad haka, ad nazifa, ad kula? What does that mean? Just, who's hitting whom? Just tell me.
The reaction.
Okay, almost everybody thinks it's the reaction. There's one lone opinion in the Shikha Mekubeta in the Messiah Dafalam that thinks it's talking about the guy who's doing the tochacha, but everybody else thinks, everybody else thinks that it is, that is how you understand it, that you have to give tochacha until the guy hits you. That's a very good question. We're going to see the Rambam the Sefer Chinuch says, verse 12, the fourth line, he says, Ad kedei sheyeh karov hachosei lehakotet amochiyach. Okay, he says until he's about to hit you, okay? Not clear, about to, or he did. But the point is, this is trying to say that ad heichan tochacha, you have to give tochacha again and again until the guy hits you, or curses you, or kicks you out, okay? That's the Gemara, and it sounds like even if he's not, that seems to imply that even if the guy is not accepting it, he doesn't want to hear it, right? You have to give tochacha anyway. Very interesting. The Gemara in source 9 in Shabbos Daf Nun Hey, Shabbos Daf Nun Hey in source 9, we have also a case, Amar Le Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Simon, L'chachin Amar Lohani Zabeirish Galuta. But there's the Rabbi Simon, go and give rebuke to the people in the house of the exilar, to the Reish Galuta. Amalei lo makadli minai, he says, they're not going to accept it from me. Amalei afagadli lo makadli lo chachin humar. Even though they're not accepted, go give them talk. So these two Gemaras very strongly seem to be saying that even if the guy's not going to accept it, and he's going to be angry and want to hit you, or even just hit you or curse you, you must give tochacha. Okay? Yeah. To what end? So that's what I wanted to ask you. And we're going to see next thing we're going to see is the Gemara that go the other way. But let's even just think for a second now. What could be the purpose of the mitzvah if you have to give tochacha until they hit you, or even if they don't listen? Yeah.
It's possible both ways. It could be on the person who's receiving it, it could be on the person getting it.
Okay.
The receiving it is the assumption is at some point they're going to cave in and ask for you to get it.
Okay.
On the giving end, it means that you're obligated to, I'm not quite sure why, because otherwise the effect goes on you, perhaps, would be the strongest.
Okay.
But I'm very uncomfortable with that.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think we all are, and we're going to see. We're going to see how practically. We don't generally do it at Hakah, okay? But, yeah.
What are the problems with the person doing something wrong? It's the concept that people see and it becomes the standard of the community. Everybody thinks, okay, he's doing it, he's coming in to take them, so it becomes the standard. And if nobody stands up and says, this is wrong,
mm-hmm.
if the person who originally did it is not looking to him, then this becomes the standard. That everybody thinks he's doing something. Nobody, it doesn't seem to bother anybody. And so, in order to prevent from becoming the standard of the community, that's why sometimes you have to take time.
Okay.
Exactly, at the federation of Lusa, Lusa is different.
Right.
And you got to put it regardless of the
government
out there,
right.
You know, directly against it.
Exactly. So it's like the kind of thing of going on record against something, even if it's not going to be heard. Okay, well, the first thing, Sherry, you said is maybe ultimately will get heard, right? In other words, the only time you do it at Hakah is if you think there's really a chance that he might respond.
That's not going on record.
Okay, that's a different thing. And then the second possible explanation is this idea of going on record, of saying, of protesting. Just even for the sake of protesting, that we can't, Rav Yair Khan, in the different share that I saw on this says, he calls it not remaining apathetic to sin. In other words, you have to protest. When something when someone's doing something wrong, you can't just stand by and do nothing. Even if you're not going to listen, even if you're not going to change him, you got to say something. You have to say, this is wrong. You have to protest. Yes.
But it should be both communal and individual.
Yeah.
Not only that I'm going on record so the whole community knows wrong, but
right.
That you individually should
exactly.
Have to
right.
So
right.
You should not start to
exactly. Exactly. I want to
remember
yes.
That you not just to say something.
Yes, that was going to be my next sentence. Thank you very much. You have to make the distinction between, the issue of individually, I have to protest it because I can't stand by and watch this, and also the community, needing to hear a protest. Yeah.
But no matter which approach you take, if either you've done too much or you've done it in a bad way,
right.
You're not going to accomplish the goal of either lo tisnag hachifah or gahatul rabba.
Right.
So sometimes maybe less is more.
Right, we're actually about to see that in the next Gemara, right? The other Gemara. So it really depends on how you view the purpose of it. If the purpose of it is to make shalom between people, to get people to actually repent, then if they're not listening and they're hitting you and cursing you, you're not getting anywhere close to those goals. This Gemara perhaps is indicating a different goal, which is just protesting wrong, standing up with having a rally against avera. Because we can't just stand by and watch it. But you're right, if the point is peace between people, actual repentance, this is not the way to go about it. And we're about to see that as well. So you're right, yeah.
This Gemara has divorced the tochacha from the effect.
Depending on what you view the effect. In other words, what is the point of tochacha? So we've discussed beforehand, we discussed two possible reasons for tochacha. One is to make shalom, one is to get people to repent.
How do you get away from that when it says even if he
right.
doesn't listen to the point where he whacks one,
right.
or just walks out?
Right.
And that Gemara leaves it as you still do it.
Yeah.
So how do you get away from the independence?
Right? That's what I'm saying. I think that it is trying to say it's a mitzvah independent of the goal of repentance. In other words, there must be a different purpose, right? A third purpose of tochacha, not shalom, not repentance, but the Torah doesn't want us to remain apathetic to sin. The Torah doesn't want us to stand by. Even if we're not going to change anything, we have to say something. It's a very surprising approach, I agree. But here it is in the Gemara. Now we're going to see. We show him and try to resolve it. Are going to take this Gemara away from there, but yes.
It's almost a preventive time also in the sense of which you very much.
What do you mean?
That you see somebody about to do something wrong, so Until Papa even stretches that far to sit, to warn him, saying, you know, you may not be aware that this is the wrong behavior.
To preemptive tochacha? I think, sorry. Afushe me yisula. It's not really exactly hatsula. I would guess, yeah. I mean, yeah. Right. Right. No, it can't be that the mitzvah only applies after the person has done something, already done something wrong, but there's no mitzvah to stop somebody. There is this concept of afrushe meisura, which they talk about as, you know, like sort of a karla to tochacha. Trying to remember if afrushe meisura is dafka beforehand and the tochacha is after, or if we just talk about both of them as before and after. Certainly I think that there would be a mitzvah to do that. But I want to look at it and see if there's a... I have to look into that one. It's a good question. Okay, so we have those two gemaras. Now let's look at the next two gemaras. The next two gemaras, Beis Yedoth Lamed, Aleph, it says, I'm going to summarize the beginning and we'll just read the end in just a time. The gemara discusses the case of people who received, the gemara says you're not supposed to sit right at the edge of an Eruv with your stuff on Shabbos because something might roll outside the Eruv and then you'll go get it, right? And you'll violate Shabbat, the carrying on Shabbat, right? So the Gemara says, but what about, you know, these women who go and they sit there, you know, right at the edge of the Eruv and they don't, when nobody stops them? So the Gemara answers, this is like just over halfway down the source, right, third word on the line, right after a question mark. The Gemara says, Ella, Hanach Len LeYisrael, Mutzav Shiyushov Gin Valyum Mezidim. The Gemara says, the reason that we don't say anything to these people who are sitting at the edge of the, you know, the mavoy and, you know, with their things and they're, you know, they're not being careful about this problem. The Gemara says, no, better they should be shogegim than mizidim. In other words, what is the assumption? If we mochiach them, if we tell them off, what are they going to do? Nothing. Right? They're not going to change their behavior and therefore we should not say anything better they should be a shogeg. Then the Gemara says, then the Gemara says, "V'hani mili b'drabanan." I'm 5 lines from the bottom of verse 10. That's only in a drabanan. These cases that we're discussing in the Gemara were cases of drabanan. Avadel reis hello, but in a deraisa, so you should be mochiach. The Gemara says, "V'lohi, no, that's not true. Lo shna b'deraisa, v'lo shna b'drabanan, lo aminu lehu v'lo midi. Don't say anything, even if it's deraisa. To have to sefet yom kippurim deraisa hu." So Sefet Yom Kippur is a mitzvah bill, right? That's learned out from the pasuk of V'tish'al HaChodesh Ba'erev, Me'erev Ad Erev, the Gemara learns out from there. So Sefet Yom Kippurim as a mitzvah bill, right? Then we say V'achlei V'shatu Ad Shechashiecha, we have people who are sitting and eating, you know, all the way right until the moment where you really have to stop eating. And we don't say anything. So the Gemara here concludes that in a case of, even in, whether it's a mitzvah deraita, a mitzvah derabanan, the people are violating, if they are doing it b'shogeg, leave them, and you think, if you think your tochacha will not be accepted, leave them alone, because better that you should be a shogeg, they should be a shogeg than amazed. And I heard quoted, I can't remember the name of whom, that it might even be a vera husnei there to give them tochacha. In a case where you know they're not going to accept it and you're going to turn them into a mazid, you're going to make actually things worse, right? So that's a very interesting application of Husnei'ivir, but that's, you know, just throwing that out there. The Gemara in Yevamos is the Gemara that you quoted before, about Va'amar Rabbi Yilah, in verse 11, Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Kishem Shemitzvah Aladam Lomar Davar HaNishma, Kach Mitzvah Aladam Shalom Lomar Davar She'enu Nishma. Okay, it just like it's a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, it's also a mitzvah to say, not to say something that will not be heard. Rabbi Abba Omer Chova, it's a Chova. It's not just a mitzvah like it's ideal, it's a Chova not to say something that won't be heard. As it says, don't rebuke a like, the good for nothing, because he'll hate you. Rebuke a wise person and he'll love you, okay, because he appreciates improving his character. So you have the two Gemaras that say, doesn't matter if they're going to accept it or not, till they hit you, till they curse you, to give tochacha. We have two gemaras that say, no, better they should be shogeg than mezid, don't say something that's not going to be nishma. How do you resolve these two sets of gemaras? How can you, How can you make harmony between these two sets of gemaras? Yeah.
What's possible depends on the aspect.
Okay, what do you mean?
Because depending on the personality and the circumstances, what could cause them to hate humans, what whatever your possible scenarios could be,
okay,
would be, your response would be different.
Okay, so what you're saying is...
You need to know when to apply which gemara and when to apply.
Okay, so in the case where a situation will be where they, like, so when is the case we should do it until they hit you? When back, what's
I have a large problem.
Okay, I have
a large
okay, okay.
Especially if you're just going on record.
Right.
Because you have to do that record.
Right.
You do this personally. It's right. Not communal.
Right. What is it, right? Okay, yeah.
You could say that the latitude and latitude where you sort of take a soft approach,
mm-hmm.
It's talking about that someone's, you know, in action. Someone is doing an error, maybe an error.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not introducing the person themselves,
mm-hmm.
And maybe it's for the lack of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just define this one action,
mm-hmm.
This be a positive or negative. Positive, mm-hmm. Two, to take a soft approach over the listener, they've always been a broader thing. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You call it a soft approach.
Yeah.
And the mm-hmm. Other two tomorrows, where separation loose, I would say, this applies to. And more often also, where it says, Roya Bichavero Dahum Zuri. You really see, it's a character flaw.
Mm-hmm.
You want to introduce it to the person themselves.
Interesting.
And, you know, more basic and fundamental, and then you want to take a stronger, you know.
Very interesting. Okay. Very interesting. I did not see in the Rishonim or the Achronim, but that's a very interesting approach. You're trying to say when it's on an individual, some point, a prat, okay, but in a case where it's a fundamental flaw, then you do say something. Very interesting. Okay. Yeah?
I don't know that the first emerged in source 8 and 9 may not be limited to the Arisa. If it's limited to Gyoraisa,
yeah.
Then it might not go very well with the end of the Gemara in Beitza, but it would go well with some of the stuff that goes before it.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's one possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Another possibility may depend on the generation.
Uh-huh.
You may have one.
Well, that's a very important thing, which we're going to get back to at the end. You know, that, like, it's very fascinating that in the very Gemara that says that you have to give tochacha till it hurts, literally, right? Till he hits you, okay? It's the very same Gemara that brings up, no one else knows how to give tochacha today. What is the point of that? Is that trying to say, is this Brisa in the middle of that Gemara trying to say that even though technically that's the rule, we can't really do it? Is that what it's trying to say in our generation? And, you know, in Tarot, I remember Tafron lived at the time, and, you know, I mean, that was ages ago, right? That was before even the time where they're discussing Ahaka. So are they just talking theoretically, but only in an ideal situation when we would have the opportunity to give Tochaka properly? Very interesting question, yes.
What everybody think on this is then that you're not dealing with two contradictory, as in Mahokas and Mahars.
Right.
But rather, everybody's making it work, reconciling everything.
Yes.
In this case, the situation.
Correct. Right. In other words, you're right. You're trying.
I mean, neither of us is absolute.
Correct. Right. In other words, that's the classic, you know, that's what the Rishonim do. They take the two Gemara, right? This one's the point. This case, all right. Yeah.
It may be a pro forma result,
yeah.
But it does
right.
Solve that issue. It's not saying that.
That it's right, categorical. Right. So, yeah. Yeah.
Rav Hartman is looking at this just after Korban.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that's what he's reacting to.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Trying to say, you know, nobody in this generation knows how to give or get tochacha. Let's be, you know, interesting, yeah. Right? Okay, so I want to give you a couple of the Rishonim, you know, a few Rishonim who try to resolve this. If you look at the Sefer Chinuch, he quotes this thing, Medina and Mitzvah, source 12, you know, that you should do it until Achik Yekarov, Akotel Akotel, the Mochinuch, like I pointed out before. But then he says, Umikol Makom, this is in the fourth, end of the fourth line of source 12, Mikol Makom, Amiz Rechonim Livracha, Gamkin, Sheim Yireh Mochinuch, She'en, Bidivrei Tochachotav, Shum Toelet Nimtza, mitoch gozo veshachote or shel ish ali, you know, one doesn't ilaim alim the rasha biyoter umitiareni menu shelo yamor alav yagenu sheeno chayv mitzvah del beish kaze. The sefer achinuch, and then he says, and that's what we mean in the Gemara in Yevamos. So after quoting their obligation to do it ad hakaa, the sefer achinuch says, but if you see it's not going to work, don't do it. So the Sefer HaChinuch is saying, when do you do it ad hakah, ad klala, ad nazifa? Only if you know there's a chance. Only if you see that there's a, that it might work. But if you see it's not going to work, don't do it. So on that, I have a little story. Like, I remember with one of my kids, I remember having an argument, you know, having, like, being mochiach him about something. Some, dafka wasn't a specific thing. It was like a general approach to something. And I remember we, you know, I was talking with him about it, and I remember he ended up storming off to his room, like he was really upset with me. And I remember afterwards saying to myself, you know, maybe I shouldn't have pushed him so hard. Maybe, I don't know, you know, I mean, it wasn't ad haka, you know, God forbid. But I'm saying, you know, he was upset with me, and I remember thinking to myself, should I have done that? Later, I heard him talking to my husband about how could he maybe improve in that issue. In other words, even though it was ad nazifa, he had run away, and he didn't tell me to get away, but he ran away, right? But the point is, ran up to his room. But the point is, sometimes, even if you, at the moment, they're upset, sometimes something you say has an impact, and later they'll think about it when they're calmer. And really, you know, that, whenever I learn this sefer, you know, this gemara, the sefer, I think of that case. I heard a shiva, Rav Yonatan Sacks, about this topic, and he quotes, Shita Mekubes, of Avraham Matzia, who says that, quotes, I think it was Rav Moshe Cohen, who says a very deep psychological insight that, you know, what do we always say? The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference, right? And so, if someone is indifferent to what you're saying, there's no point. If he's haka, klala, nazifa, you've struck a chord. That actually means that he's gotten somewhere. That's not lo makabel tochachato. That means he was makabel. That means you got to him, right? So that's very interesting. Rather, that argument would be saying, there's no machlokas between these gemaras. Ad haka means that you got to him. It's you know, and if it's something, eno nishma, you shouldn't say it. That's when you know the person will have no reaction, will just walk away from you. In any case, so one possibility is, like I said, you know, that there's no, like, you know, like based on the Ramosha Klein and the Shita Mekubetis, that you really, you know, you have gotten to him. Another possibility is, if Eva Rachinach related, is that you only do it if you think he might take away something. If he might take away something, if it's someone who really, you know, cares about you and really, you know, like, say, like a parent-child, that you know there's a relationship there or a close friend, even if he's going to curse you, you know he's going to come back and think about it. That's the case where you do it. Otherwise, you don't do it. That's the Sefer HaChinuch. The Uraim, yeah, go ahead, please.
It's sort of an under-the-surface understanding that all this Sochacha would be only one-to-one in private.
Okay. We're going to get to that in a second. When we're looking
at...
Yeah.
Many of us have experienced, particularly if you've ever been a guy, to say anything to somebody in a group doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And they're embarrassed.
Yeah,
that's right. And they're embarrassed. So we're going to talk about that in a second. Okay? Again, just the smog, we're not going to read it inside, but the smog also, in source 13, you see similar to the Sefer HaChinuch, he quotes all of this, you know, do it ad haka, etc. And then the Gemara, and then he says at the end, V'ani omer she'ein zo ki im eitza tova. Okay? He says, no, this is just an eitza tova. Okay? He says sometimes you have to, after the Urayim. The Urayim makes a distinction between shogig and mezid. The Urayim says, well, of course the Gemara in Beis is talking about shogig. Mutav shi shogigin is only if he's a shogig, right? And he claims that also the Gemara in Yevamos is about shogig. That's when you don't say something she'enam nishma. When he's a shogig and you're going to turn him into a mezid, of course you have to weigh whether that's worth it. But if he's already a mezid, let's say he's already amazing. Then you do it ad haka, ad nazifa, ad klala. That's the Urayim's approach. If he's amazing, he knows what he's doing, he knows it's wrong, you have to keep at him. If he's a shogig, that's when we get into a discussion of whether it was worth it to say something, not worth it. You have to judge. You might be looking at Eivor to do it. Okay, that's the arrangement. The Smag says that, he says, no, this idea of, you know, of ad haka, etc. He says, "Ani omer ein toki meizetova ki asher meizedim tzrichim lishtok." And then he quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, you know, "Mitzvachova l'shelo lomar davar she'eino nishma." Okay. So the second resolution that we have is the Yerayim, which is shogeg versus meized. If he's a shogeg, you don't say anything. If he's a meized, you must. Yes.
Even with meized, there is a problem because if someone's going to do it over and over again, but then you talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
He can be stubborn, so you're
actually,
in other words,
he'd be making it worse, even. You're making him further entrenched in his position. Mm-hmm. Even if he's already
in it. It's possible he might have.
Right. Right. It's interesting. I mean, I also, you know, in our generation, you know, I don't know. In other words, it's just, at least the instinct I have is that you don't get anywhere by butting heads with the person, you know? In other words, like, love and you know, friendliness and caring and, you know, modeling and all that soft stuff is the way that it works well. And that, you know, I don't know, when you get somebody really angry, does that actually change them? I don't know. In my experience, not really. You know, right? Maybe. Yeah, it could be, but I don't feel that the, you know, in other words, maybe because of what Rabbi Tarfon says, that Bador Hazer Einshem Yodea Lochir Einshem Mekabel Tochacha, like, that once you get people's defenses up, I don't find that there's anything get through, you know? So unless you want to say that the Mitzvah Tochacha is just to register your disapproval, right? But if you're talking about actually affecting people, you know, it doesn't seem to me that currently, I mean, this is just my experience, work if you do it in this very strong way. Yeah.
Seems that tochacha should just be absolute. We're better for shogeg than for meizid.
Mm-hmm.
The meizid is something, you know, you're a bad person.
Right. You already know.
If
right.
If a person's a shogeg, then you know, I think you made a mistake.
Right.
Right.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, and in fact, if the person will accept it, you're obligated to give tochacha in that situation. The case where we say mutzav shoshogeg is only when you're convinced that the other person will not listen, mm-hmm. right? And you see them doing something to shogeg, you know? So then you don't do it. But if there's a chance to listen, that's the mitzvah tochacha. That's clearly for sure. And I agree with you. If the person is open to learning, right, then, you know, then for sure it's that's a mitzvah, it's an avera, not, you know, this is the wrong thing not to do, for sure. So, you know, briefly, we're getting close to the end of our time here, I think. So, but just to look briefly at the halacha l'maaseh, the p'sak halacha, I want to look in sources 16 to 18. You have the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Ches, that's where really he talks about Chayach Tochiach, and he's talking about it in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, talking about Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, like the Gemara Day to discuss it. And he says, Nashim Shalachot V'Shotot HaShechashecha, women who eat and drink until the night, you know, they're not aware of the halacha, V'hein enan yodin shemitzvah lohosik mechol HaKodesh, en memachim b'yadam kidei shalot tavo lasat b'zadam. Don't rebuke them so that they don't come to do it on purpose. This is obviously assuming that the women are not going to listen in this situation.
Where did you get the notion from?
What did you say? Ah. The Gemara had talked about women who sit at the edge of the Eruv.
Yeah.
The Gemara had not said that that it was women who did the eating at an Erev Yom Kippur. Shulchan Aruch apparently understood it that way. I didn't look at the Rishonim to see if, I also noticed that, but I didn't look at the Rishonim to see if anybody picks up on the Gemara to see if anybody, where he gets that from. Yeah, it's very interesting. Unless he wasn't trying to interpret the Gemara, he's just saying, I see women doing this, and so women who are doing this, you know, like in my community, it's the women, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's, yeah, no, you're right, it's interesting. We have to look back and see where the women began to come up in that line. Maybe. It's worth looking into. Very interesting question. The Ramah then gets into some of these details. And the Ramah says, Haga. V'hu adin b'chol devar. B'chol devar Yisrael. Amrinan mutav shishogavim v'lo yimizim. that with every davar iser, anything somebody is doing that's wrong, we say mutar shishor in valim azidin. However, the dafka she'ena mufurish b'Torah, we only say mutar shishor in valim azidin if it's something that is not written straight out in the Torah. Apple for shu davar iser, even if it's davar iser. In other words, tough as apple yom kippur in a poor right. Well, Gemara said it applies even to davar isers, like the sefet yom kippur. However, if it's a davar iser that's written straight out in the Torah, the Ramah says you have to give tochacha, even if you think they will not listen. In the first Torah, Mochin be up, you must do it. If it's in the first Torah. Why do you think the Ramah, and this is based on the Ran and the Rush, see in parentheses, why do you think, what is the basis of this? Why do you think the Ramah says this, that if it's in the first Torah, you must, if it's written straight down the Torah, someone's eating pig, you know, it says it's straight down the Torah, there's no getting around it, right? Why then do you have to say something, even if they're showing him, even if you think they won't listen? Why that distinction? So, you know, I mean, one possibility is to go in the direction of, this would be very interesting, is like, is there a difference in lahalaka from things that are written straight on the Torah and things that are darshan, the different methods of darshaning, you know, which is obviously a big issue. But the Darshan Moshe on the tour says that the Ramah on the tour says that the reason is that you must assume that the person is not really a shogeg if they're doing something that is written straight out of the Torah. In other words, they look like they're a shogeg, but it can't really be shogeg. This would have tremendous implications for nowadays, right? There are a lot of things that are written straight out of the Torah that people may not know about. You know, not everybody is aware of shatnez. They might heard of shatnez, but they're not aware that you have to check your clothes, you know. And they might be wearing shatnez, right, and not realize it. But it says straight out in the Torah, you know, that you can't do that, okay? So, you know, that would be interesting. Maybe it could be that nowadays even things that are referred to the Torah, depending on what. If it's pig, everybody's heard of that one. Shatnez, not everybody knows about it, or maybe others, okay? So, that's an interesting one. But then he says, in your she'im v'arav nishma'im lo yomar v'ladim l'hochichan. In a situation where you have to give tochacha, if you know that your words will not be heeded, will not be listened to, lo yomar b'ragim, rabim l'chichan rak pa'amachat, you should only say it once in public, aval lo yomar b'tochachot me'achar she'yodeh she'lo yishma'u elav. If we're talking about something that's being done b'tzibur, say it once. You have to sound like you have to say it, but you say it once. Don't make a big deal out of it. The Rama actually passed him that you must, but if it's in private, if you're talking about an individual, in a case of an individual, and you're in private, you do it, you do tochacha until he would hit you. Now, so that's, okay, that's passing, you know, really ad kedei kach. However, the Mishnah Berurah and the Ber Halacha, you know, the same, you know, the Chafetz Chaim, well, both of them, makes a couple of caveats that we need to look at. Okay, so he says, first of all, in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, the Mukhachi Shogeg, and he points out that we're talking only about a Shogeg, not about a Mezid. If it's a Mezid, you have to give the Tochacha. However, in the Bir Halacha, verse 18, makes a couple of caveats. The Dad and Istabra, the Masha Pasaka Ramad, the Devar Mufresh Patara Chayav, the Mkot, Davka Shuba Akrai. We're talking there about a situation where someone is doing it on an ad hoc basis. They did this Avera. People who don't accept the mitzvot at all, someone who violates Shabbos publicly or eats nevelot, you know, on purpose. Not clear, no. I think that sugar, those two are often put together because, and this also gets into the shir about people like Yachas Halachal Yudim Sheinam Shomrei Mitzvot, because one question that we could have is Mechal Shavuot Parasi is assumed to be doing it like the Yad Ramah, you know. However, the poskim who, you know, at the time of the rise of the Reform Movement, okay, there are some German poskim of that century who talk about how Mechal Shavuot Parasi is no longer what it used to be. Like, you know, there are people who make Kiddush and then go, they acknowledge Hashem created the world. It's not that they're rejecting that. They just don't think that that means I can't drive my car or go shopping or whatever, right? So, Mechashav's Kharsiyah in general is in Halacha is always like the case of someone who's like totally throwing everything away, but like, Lahachis, you know. But nowadays we don't necessarily view it that way. But anyway, he says, that is the case where you don't have to give sochacha to somebody, although not for the reason that makes us all happy and feel good. It's just for the reason that they're not amitecha. They're not amitecha. You don't have to do it. Okay? And then he says, chayav lo chicho. And this one he says, over sefer chassidim, simen tachiv gimel, katav davka ish et achiv shalibo gasbo. Somebody that's your friend, somebody with whom you have a relationship, that's when you have to give the tochacha. But if it's somebody who's going to hate you if you give the tochacha, or who's going to take revenge on you, then you do not have to give tochacha. So what that does very much is limit this idea that when you have to give tochacha, even if it's hard, even if you, you know, with your brother, your sister, your very close friend, somebody who you know you have a relationship with, they're not going to hate you. That's when you can go really far in tochacha. But in the case where the person's going to hate you, the case where the person's not going to, it's going to, you know, totally reject it, that's a situation where you don't give the tochacha.
That fits with yes. What you mentioned earlier about arevut, because if we're one body,
right,
we care about. There's a number of other rooms. So what are you doing? You're displacing another person.
Interesting, very interesting. Now you're going to cause them to hate you, and that's another area. Right. That's interesting. Listen, Ivaran, very interesting. Okay, we're pretty much out of time, but I just want to close with the very last source on your booklet, source 21. This I saw in Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's Sefer. so what's it called? Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind. He quotes the Medrash Beishis Rabbah, which basically asks the question, why are we called, we're all called Yehudim. We're called Yehudim. Why are we all called Yehudim, like Yehuda? Why aren't people from, Reuven called Reuvenim, and, God called Gadim, and, why are we all called Yehudim? So the Medrash says, call us Chayunikri Malshimcha, okay? We don't say Reuveniana, Shimoniana, Ela Yehudiana. We all call each other Yehudim. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says that the Medrash says this. I couldn't find it in the Medrash, but I thought it was a nice idea anyway. On this Medrash, he says that the Medrash actually says, why was Yehuda Zocha to being called, to all of us being called the Jews, the Yehudim, because of when he said, Ki avdecha arav et anar mehin avi lemor, im lo avi anaracha v'chatati lo avi kol hayamim. Why are we called Yehudim? Because Yehuda said that he was the Arev for Binyamin. Yehuda said, I am responsible for my brother. We're all like one. And because he had this concept of Arevut, we are brothers, and I will take care of you no matter what. That's why Zocha to be called Yehudim. So Tochacha is a very challenging mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah. It's a very challenging mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to think about, but it's all based on what is the fundamental trait of the Jew, which is that we all view ourselves as responsible for each other. We all view ourselves as one being. Yes.